this morning. Talk about the omnipotence of God. It is really good to be able to share the Word of God with you. I'm very happy. When we were on holiday, we had a chance, of course, to hang out and have devotions, things like that. But it's just good to get into the Word and study it and then be able to share it with you guys. It's really what I love to do. So it's great. And talk about omnipotence. We're going to talk about other attributes of God. That'll take us into June. So as we finish out May and as we go into all the way to the last week of June, we're going to talk about the attributes of God. And then after that, we're going to do something that's going to be very encouraging and I think very faith-building for the whole church. There's something called the E100. Now, if you've ever wondered what the 100 most important sections of the Bible are. So in other words, if you just said, you know, Lord, what do you want me to know out of the Bible? If there were 100 passages that I would really need to know for a good living faith in Jesus Christ, what are they? They've been compiled here. And so these are opportunities for us to go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the Bible studies are going to do this too. I have a study guide that helps so the Bible study leaders can get these. They're going to take these and they'll look at 5 different sections of the Bible, smaller sections, each week. And then I'll take one of those sections and I'll preach on that on the weekend. And so we'll be able to walk through the Scriptures together. And what this is this is a card that gives you the reading guide with a punch, and there's a wall you can go to check in and put your comments. So, and another thing I can do too in this, which I'm really excited about, is that I can resource you to get a Bible. If you do not have a Bible, one that you personally read and mark up, and it's good to do that because you put your thoughts down and it helps you grow in your faith, that I will give you some opportunities of which ones are good and helpful, because there's so many. If you've ever looked, it's hard to figure out what translation, which Bible. So I can help you in that. And we'll have these out next week. So we'll start talking about this more and more, and you'll be able to really get into this. And I'm excited about us as a congregation having the opportunity to do this. It's going to take us from right at the end of June, July, all the way to Advent. So we're going to take 5 each week, and it's going to be a good opportunity for us to get into the Word of God as a congregation. And what's going to happen is it'll help us and guide us in loving God and loving others, which is what it's all about. But now let's look at the omnipotence of God. And omnipotent is not in the Bible. It's not a word you'll find in the Bible. It's Latin. And what it means is omni is all, and potens, hope I got that right. My daughter teaches Latin, so if I don't get it right, be in trouble. But potens is powerful, so it means all powerful. What the Bible has, especially in the Old Testament, which is what we want to focus on, that section from Exodus, is the word Shaddai. You've heard that word Shaddai before? There's a song called El Shaddai. A guy named Michael W. Smith wrote that song. It's a beautiful song. You might have that going around in your mind right now like I do. And it speaks of the name and the power of God. So the word that God used is El Shaddai. And El is short for God. The word for God in the Old Testament is Elohim. And Elohim can be shortened to El. And then you attach a name onto it. So that's where you get El Shaddai from. And God's power is not something that we probably doubt. I mean, we look at it. You see a thunderstorm. You see lightning. You see just the beauty of God's creation. And as a matter of fact, everything in the whole world is held together by God's power. I know that's not understood. It's not confessed. Most people in the world, you know, might not think that way. But God says it is. He actually says in Colossians that everything is held together by He Himself. And you know, it's interesting to me that scientists don't know what holds the atoms together. They really don't know. They know that they're held together and they have theories and ideas and they think there's cosmic glue or something like that, but they don't know. And God says, I know, I hold them together. I'm the one that makes it work. And He's actually the one that is all-powerful, almighty. And this is what he's proclaiming himself to be. So what? So what does that mean? What does that mean to us as human beings that are living in this time, in this age? I think there's a lesson for us here, a lesson for us to grasp. And we're going to look at it in the different readings that we have, both the Gospel, the Old Testament, and the New Testament one. And you'll see I put 2 points in your outline, but they can be summed up with one big point, and it's this, that God will use His omnipotent power to develop our strength of faith. That's what it's about. God uses His omnipotent power to develop our strength of faith and character in Christ. That's what it's about. That's what life is all about. We're all going to live in, He's called us through Christ to live with Him in heaven. And He is developing that and working that now, that character, through His power. Have you ever noticed that before you have a glad experience, before you have something good happen, that something bad can happen? That you can, it happened in our Old Testament reading. You'll see that Moses, it goes from bad to worse to horrible before it even gets better. And life is like this at times. There can be really bad things that happen before anything good that happens. And we can go through some really scary times, really difficult times, and there is good reasons why God does it like this. There's really good reasons. For example, His omnipotent power did not deliver Christ from the cross. God could have. God, by His power, could have brought Christ down off the cross, and people were jeering Him to do that, didn't do it. And by not doing it, His same power raised Him from the dead, and He died for your sins and saved us through faith. So God definitely has a reason for doing these things. Pharaoh is a great example. In the Old Testament reading, it's briefly talked about, but what happens is these 10 plagues are unleashed on Pharaoh. Why 10? Why did He do that? I mean, they've already been in bondage, they've been in slavery, they've been treated horribly beyond anything we've ever experienced in our lives. For 500 years. So why? God waits 10 times. He gives Pharaoh the opportunity, even though he's been brutal, a horrible despot, He gives him 10 opportunities to save himself and his country. And actually, when you read the story, you'll see what happens. It says that after a plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And when the 10th one comes, it says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So He gave him space. He gives us space. You see, God uses His power not to terrify us, not to scare us, but to save us. To see that His power is able to come in when we need it, and it will work at times when we probably don't think it's going to come. I love the Gospel reading for that purpose. Because in the Gospel reading, I don't know if you feel like that, but I feel like that a lot. Where, do you ever feel like Jesus is taking a nap while you're going through all your difficulties, and you're suffering through something, and it doesn't seem like He is present or that He's going to deliver you? And when I was younger, and our kids were growing up, we used to watch SpongeBob. You ever watch SpongeBob? I love SpongeBob because what he does when he loses it, you know, he runs in circles and goes, oh, 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 oh. I mean, that's what I see them in the, that's what I see happening in the boat. You know, Jesus, and it doesn't say this in this text, but Deb was very right in bringing the pillow because in Mark, he actually has a pillow. He gets a pillow, he's asleep. And he's taking a nap. And the disciples are completely losing it. Note what Jesus says. He equates fear with unbelief. And unbelief manifests itself in different ways in our lives. One of the ways that faith, lack of faith manifests itself is fear. The other way that a lack of faith manifests itself is in anger. Moses was one angry dude. He was so angry and had such a problem with anger that he killed somebody. This guy was just a firehead. And the Bible talks about him like that. It's very interesting. And so it will appear as anger sometimes. It will appear as doubt. He was doubting and he was talking to God that way. And I love his honesty before God. We need to have that sort of honesty with God to just talk to Him straight up. So So in the text, that Old Testament text, what has happened is you can't see it in there, but in 5:2 of Exodus, Pharaoh has given a response to Moses because Moses and Aaron accepted God's call to go down there and do this work for God. And Pharaoh just tells Moses, he says, "Who is the Lord that I should heed his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." And so instead of letting the Israelites go, if you've ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments, you know what happened. Where, and Ten Commandments actually did a pretty good job of this, where Pharaoh says, okay, you think you're going to leave? I'm going to take away your straw. So you get no more straw, but you still need to produce the same quota of bricks. And so what happens in this juncture as we get to verse 5:22, the leaders among the Israelites, the foremen, are coming to Moses and saying, "Moses, you put a sword in Pharaoh's hand. We are suffering and he is killing us." And Moses gets upset and angry about the whole thing, and he comes to the Lord and says, "Why, O Lord, have you done this evil to your people? Why did you ever send me? For ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to your people. And you have not delivered your people at all." Practically speaking, I really pray that this helps me and you understand why sometimes you have to suffer. Why sometimes you have to go through difficult situations. You don't know, perhaps, how the future is going to work out. And you feel that you don't have the ability or the strength. You have anxiety and you have worries and you have stresses about how it could not work out. And you have to deal with them. And it is not that God is not powerful enough to deliver you. It is not that God does not have the desire or the will to deliver you. What is happening is that God's power wants to work something else in you that you can't see. God's power wants to work in you a character, a resolve, an ability to see that His power will show up exactly when you need it. And that is the obedience of faith. To be able to trust God is what is precious to God. That's why in the text, God reminds Moses of his names. That's why he brings that out to him. And I think it is really helpful for us to see that God did not freak out and start throwing lightning bolts at Moses at that time. He knows that we're human and we're going to have difficulties and we're going to have issues. And he works with them. He encourages them. What does he bring? He brings to him a couple things. He brings to him his name. And he tells him his name. He says, "I am the Lord." Now, you can't see that in the text. Sometimes in your Bible, you'll notice that the Lord is written in capital letters. Have you noticed that? Where it's written like in small caps. What's happening there is in the translation, and we don't really have a word for it, is the name of God, which is Yahweh. And that simply means it's just translated as "I am." And God's just saying, "My name." He told Moses this at the burning bush. He said, Moses said, "What's your name?" And God says, "I am. I exist. I self-exist. I am self-aware. I'm self-existing. I am. I just am God. I am the one that is." And he gave that name to him, but then he reminds him here at this point. He takes him back. He says, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He says, "To them I revealed myself as God Almighty, as El Shaddai." And it's as if what he's sharing with them is this. He's saying, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that was like kindergarten. That was like grammar school, just the beginning. And you know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never received the promise? They never got the land. They died never receiving it. They had to die in faith, just trusting God. And now God is in the process of bringing that out, and He's in the process of doing something else. So He's telling Moses, He's saying, I'm taking you to the next level. Do you want to go to the next level? Do you want to have less stress, anxiety, worry, and frustration in your life? It involves believing that the El Shaddai is who He is, and God is the great I Am. And putting our faith and trust in Him regardless of what we see. What Moses saw was totally different than what he expected, than what God had promised. But God's power is able to work what we can't believe, what we can't understand, what we can't see. This is the power of faith. This is what God's power is working within us. And this is what Paul was praying for in the epistle reading. You'll notice that in the epistle reading, he has this prayer for the Ephesians. And this is 2,000 years ago, he prays this. He prays for a couple of things. And he's praying for the power of God to show up for us. But how does Paul pray for that power of God to show up? Very similar to Moses, thousands of years before then. He says that you need wisdom. And you need revelation. Revelation has to do with knowledge. That's what revelation has to do with. Wisdom has to do with, if I were to sum it up in just a couple words, wisdom equals not freaking out. Because you can have all the sort of knowledge in your head, right? You can have all sorts of experiences that help you know how to process things. You can be at a mature point in your life where you say, I got this, I should know this, and you don't, and you still freak out, and you still worry. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and the revelation that God has given you and apply it so that it bears real, peaceful, lasting fruit in your life. There's a connection there where the wisdom actually hits the road and takes root in your heart and mind and is evident in your actions. That's what wisdom is. It's not just knowing all the answers. There are many people that are wise and make very foolish decisions. But he's talking about wisdom where it actually gets in and it translates into a peace and an assurance that God's power is going to show up. And of course you need knowledge for that. He says revelation. The revelation is God's promises. Your life has to be built on the promises of Jesus Christ, the promises of God's Word. And you need those two things together. Paul says, if you get those things, which is what God is building in Moses, you get those things functioning, then you're going to have the power of God in your life. And that's what he's sharing with him. When we think about the omnipotence of God, let's give some thought to the fact that God cannot be stopped in anything that He purposes to do. You can't stop Him. Once He gets purpose to do something, He is going to do it. There is nothing that is going to stop Him from delivering His people from Egypt. And He will move forward, He will do, He will go, and He does whatever He pleases. And that actually would be a terrifying thought if He was not a God of love. Because He tells us in Isaiah, He says in Isaiah 46, He says, I am God, there is no other, I know not one. And He says, I am a God of love. And we know that love when you look at the scars of Jesus Christ. You know that He is love. And even with Pharaoh, He is waiting. He is not interested in judging him first off. He's interested in showing his signs so that Pharaoh can come to his senses and deliver himself and his people. This is the way that our God works. Our God is a gracious and kind God. He's merciful and He centers everything that He is and does and all His power and authority in the person of Jesus Christ and gives us to us like that. And we should be amazed at His power because His power is the greatest of all. It is beyond anything we could possibly imagine. I think for you and I need to do this more. When we were in Oregon, we've done this, and I had an example of it this week, actually. I'll share with you that we should just sit in amazement and awe of His power. So this week, I think it was Wednesday. I'm not totally sure because it's been kind of a blur a bit, but it was a beautiful sunset. Do you remember the day? It was just gorgeous. And I was leaving the office. It was getting to evening, And as I'm driving home, I just see this gorgeous sunset in the sky. And there was somebody that had pulled off the road and they were facing the sun and they were just watching the sunset. And that hit me. I thought, that's the coolest thing in the world. This person is just, you know, just enjoying it. Just enjoying this canvas that God has painted there. And just taking it all in. You know, and we need to do that. We need to do that. We need to be inspired. We really just need to get inspired in the sense of how great and amazing it is. Isn't it beautiful that He's made our eyes to interpret all these colors? Because it's just light. They're just rays and particles. And then He's interpreted our brains to just be amazed by it. Now, if that's in this world, can you imagine when we see God without sin in the glory of His creation and we're able just to take that in? Oh, I can't wait. And in this world, we just need to be amazed. Just need to be amazed by this. His power is incredible. Getting on the plane, does this amaze you at times where you get on a plane and you get on a plane in Bloomington, for example, and then a couple hours later you land in Portland, and you get off the plane and you think, wow, you know, I just traveled, it would have taken me 3 days to drive that in the car. And for God, it's nothing. He's like way above it all. It's not even relevant for Him. His power is not even on that level. It's completely different for us. And for us, the greatest example of His power, as I was saying, is His faithful love in Jesus Christ. Has it ever hit you? It needs to hit us. It needs to really hit our hearts and minds. That my God who loves me, my God who gave Himself for me, is the omnipotent, almighty El Shaddai. That is the coolest thing in the world. We need to really keep our hearts and minds on that. It needs to be something that just kind of flows in us. There is joy. There is freedom. There is power in obeying Christ through faith. In trusting Him to go up to the next level, to rely on Him. And you know, if we believe this truth, if we really grow in this truth, there is a peace that comes with it. There is an assurance that comes with this. And I want to just end with reading you the words that Paul wrote to the Ephesians 2,000 years ago. As we're in the same boat. God is just shaping us and He's forming us. And they had problems and issues just like we have problems and issues. But listen to what Paul writes to these beautiful Christians as he writes to you in your beautiful faith. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you are called, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, that's you and me, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. If you're going through a difficult time, or if you're looking at a difficult time that you have to go through, what you're waiting for is this. You're waiting for verse 6 from our Old Testament reading. You're waiting for God to outstretch His arm. To outstretch His arm and redeem you. To redeem the worries and the stresses. To redeem the loss and the issue. That's what we're waiting for. And that is His almighty outstretched arm that is able to do that. When we believe that, we in our lives actually become a canvas for God to show His omnipotent power to the world. This is His hope for us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.